book of the Revelation has much more than seals, trumpets, dragons, and beasts. Jesus speaks to the church today in this last book of the Bible. Tony Broom Ministries now brings you the following teaching session entitled Messages to the Churches, Part 1. We're in the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, and you think about the Revelation, and you think about all these symbols and signs and things that are happening, but the book of the Revelation has much more than just things that you think about. It has a whole lot more than just uncertainty of the ends of time, and you're not sure what's going to happen. What's the beast going to do? What's the dragon going to do? The book of the Revelation speaks to the church. In fact, Jesus speaks to his church in the book of the Revelation, and he actually gives this book to the churches. This book is not given per se to the world. It's given to the churches. And he says this is the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave through his angel to his servant John, to the churches, to show those things which must shortly come to pass. And the Lord speaks to his churches. He instructs his churches. And we're in part one of messages to the churches. We have four churches to look at today. So we better skedaddle and get on down the line. Our text verse is verse 1 in chapter 2. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars, some people say angels, some people say pastors, and I'll take the safe route and say messengers. These are the messengers of the churches. Certainly they are the pastors of the churches. God has messengers. He has pastors that he has put in place in the church, and that's why it's a dangerous thing to go against the pastor. Now, if he's wrong, if he's a womanizer, if he's committing adultery, if he's doing things that he shouldn't do, a false prophet, then that should be dealt with. But just to go against him because you don't like him, you think he's been there too long, you just think his hair is curly or he wears shoes you don't like, that's something that we should be very careful of, going against God's messenger that he has put in the church. And the angel, there are angels who are watching out and taking care of the church too, as God does give his angels charge over us. And so we better be careful. The book of 1 Corinthians 11 talks about the angels that are beholding as we are in church and we're doing the king's business. And so Jesus is the one who is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. The seven golden lampstands represents not only the seven churches here, but it represents all of the churches, which is all of the church age in which we're living now. And I firmly believe, perhaps it's my own opinion, but we are definitely in the end, latter part of this church age, the Laodicean church part of the church age. But there are all these characteristics of the churches are found throughout the church age and almost in every individual church. And our first church is Ephesus. Return to your first love. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. God speaks to this Ephesus church. The church at Ephesus was a spiritual high plateau church. There is no church that was more highly exalted in the things of the Lord. This church, Paul writes to Timothy, and he tells him to stay there so that he could help to keep things straight and deal with false doctrine. This church, the Apostle John, even was one of the pastors of this church. And so this is a high church, and yet they had some things that they had to deal with, and you're never too high, you're never too big for your britches that you don't need the Lord to talk to you sometimes. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. So they had a lot of things going for them. They had a lot of things that they were doing right. They were not putting up with evil. They were those who were forbearing, long-suffering. They had patience. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored. You've labored, and you've not fainted. And they had a lot of things going for them. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. They had left their first love. That's what it means. You can look it up in the Greek, you can read it in the English, but it means what it means and says what it says. They had left their first love. You remember how it was when you got saved, when Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And you remember how wonderful it was. You remember the love that was shed abroad in your heart. You loved everybody when you first got saved. You loved the black man, you loved the white man, you loved the church people, you loved the drunk, you loved everybody. And that is the first love. You loved God, you loved your fellow man, you loved people who didn't think kindly of you. That's what happens when a person comes to Christ. And since then, we have learned about the preacher. We've learned about the church. We've learned about the shortcomings of people. We've learned about ministries. We've learned about competition. We've learned about this and that. And these things have softened us away and pulled us away from our first love. The cares and things of this world, Jesus said, this seed has been sown, but the cares of this world will draw you away, and the thorns will try to choke out the word. And all these riches and cares and these things that we have to deal with, ministry and church and getting the kids through college and helping to keep the grandkids and all these things that we're dealing with, they will take you away from your first love of Christ. You still have your name on the church roll. You still say you love the Lord. You still call yourself a Christian, but you have lost that edge. You've lost it, and the axe has become dull, because we have lost our first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember how it used to be. Kiss me once and kiss me twice and kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Remember how it used to be. Remember from where you are fallen. Remember how it was when you had your first love. And he says, repent. Tell God you're sorry. What does it mean for a Christian to repent? You go to your Heavenly Father and you apologize to Him. Father, more than say, I'm sorry. I apologize to you for the way that I've treated you. I apologize to you because I have left my first love. I have forgotten some of the passion and some of the desire it was to serve God. And we repent and do the first works. How do you get that first love back? Well, you repent. But then you do the first works. You do the works that you did when you got saved. When you got saved, what did you do? You couldn't wait till the church doors open. And I know that every time you say that now, somebody throws in your face that you can't go. But you still have things you can do. We can get on Zoom. We can get on the YouTube. We can get on things that we can do now the best that we can. And there are things that God's people can do. You can't just sit on the couch and feel sorry for yourself. It says, nobody loves me and everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. No, there are things that we can do. Do the first works. He said, if you don't, or else, I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. If you don't repent, I will remove your lampstand, which basically says that you are a church. I will remove that out of its place. And if you see what the history says about the church of Ephesus, as high as it was and as much spiritual plane and plateau that they had accomplished for God, they were removed out of their place. Exactly what Jesus said would happen. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Jesus does hate some things, by the way. And that's one of them, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which is a sect of doctrine that was introduced into the church. It says God's grace is free. You don't have to worry about it. Whatever you do, he'll just take care of it. You can live like you want to, and you can just go on sinning, because where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So you just go ahead and sin. It's already covered anyway. The blood of Jesus Christ takes care of it. In other words, it's hyper grace and loose and lewd living. That's not the way that God wanted us to live. Because of the grace of God, we don't sin more, we sin less. And why should we continue in sin? Grace may abound? God forbid. He who's dead to sin would live no longer in it. We don't have to live in sin, and we don't have to be bound by sin. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's said seven times throughout this thing, and God is speaking to the churches. If you have an ear, you have that auricula on the side of your head, and you also have that oído, the Spanish says, the inner ear on the inside of you that you hear. If you have that, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God the Father and God the Son is using the Holy Ghost as God's mouthpiece to speak to the churches today. The Holy Ghost is God's mouthpiece, and he is speaking to the churches today. He's not speaking to the world. We speak the news of the good gospel news to the world, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church today. And instead of fighting and fussing among ourselves, we better get right with God and get ready to reach this world for Jesus Christ while we have the opportunity to do so. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And yes, that tree of life will be there when we get there. In the midst of the river and in the midst of the paradise of God, there's the tree of life. Now, the second church is Smyrna. It's the persecuted church, and they remain faithful to Christ. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now, every time that Jesus speaks to one of these churches, he qualifies his message by giving a characteristic of himself. And this is part of the characteristics that the Apostle John saw on the Isle of Patmos. He saw when he heard this voice of a trumpet talking with him. He turned to see the voice of him that spoke to him. And he saw this Son of Man, Son of God, with a garment down to the foot and clothed about the loins with a golden girdle. And his feet were like brass, and his eyes were like fire, and his hairs of head were like white as snow, and his voice like the voice of many waters. So these characteristics are given, one or two of them are given each time he has a message to the church. And to the church here in Smyrna, he says, I am the one, the first and the last. I am the one that was dead, and I'm alive now. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know how poor you are, but actually you're very rich, because you're rich in the things of God. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. God says, Jesus says, I know what you're going through. I know your suffering. I know that you're dwelling among lions. You're dwelling in the place of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Not the tribulation period, now just tribulation, suffering. You'll have a hard time. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You notice that he did not promise them deliverance in this earth. He did not promise them quick deliverance. He said, you've got to be faithful to death, and I will give you a crown of life. He did not give them physical deliverance on this side. And sometimes we think that every time we have a trouble or trial, God's just going to wipe it away. But there are people who are called on even now to give their all, to give their life for the cause of Christ. And that's what happened in this church of Smyrna. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You'll be hurt by the first death, Thank God you won't be hurt by the second death. That second death is hell fire, a lake of fire, separation from God. You may be hurt by the first death, but you will not be hurt by the second death. And those of us who belong to Christ, we may be hurt by the first death. O death, where is thy sting, and grave, where is thy victory? You may be hurt by the first death, but thank God you won't be hurt by the second death. The third church is Pergamos. We're to hold to the truth. Thank God for the truth. There was a sign that was seen on the outside of a church that says, sugar sermons lead to truth decay. Okay? Too many sugar sermons lead to truth decay. We have to hold to the truth. To the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he that hath the sharp sword with two edges. That's God's word. I'm the one with God's word talking to you. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Now, if you don't think, beloved, that Satan has a seat, you're sadly mistaken. If you don't think that Satan has a kingdom, it's not a righteous kingdom, certainly. It's not a holy kingdom, certainly. It's an unrighteous, it's an unholy, it's a wicked, defiled kingdom, but it is a kingdom. Jesus said if Satan is divided against himself, then his kingdom will come to an end. So even he acknowledges that Satan has a kingdom. If you don't think, and I'm talking to Hendersonians now, people in Henderson, if you don't think that Satan has a seat, that Satan has a throne up on Andrews Avenue, then you're sadly mistaken. If you don't think that Satan has a seat in the Capitol, up on Capitol Hill in Washington to devise and demise and divide our nation, then you're sadly mistaken. Satan certainly has a seat. He has a synagogue, as it were. He has an evil kingdom. And he acknowledges you are dwelling where Satan's seat is, and I know that you're holding fast to my name. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now, this goes back to the story in Numbers, where Balak calls Balaam, come curse me this people. These children of Israel, they're against me. Come and curse them for me. I know that if you curse them, they'll be cursed. And if you bless, they'll be blessed. So I want you to curse them. And he tried to do it. God told him not to go and finally gave him permission to go. He really didn't want him to go. And he went anyway, riding on the donkey. And the donkey starts talking to him. What are you doing hitting me? And all this, you can read the story of the ass who was given a human voice to speak to this prophet. And in his way that he should not be going, God allowed him to go anyway, and he went. He tried to bring a curse upon the children of Israel, and God turned the curse into a blessing. And he said, I cannot curse them. They are blessed. Who God blesses, they're blessed. And I cannot do it. I cannot do it. But I'll tell you what you can do. And so we don't have it all written out in the Bible, but we have it referred to in Scripture, that he taught this Balak, king of Moab, to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to introduce idol worship and sex orgies and things that are sacrificed to idols and fornication. And they drew them away from God. And it's something that is, to this very day, is still there, and it has not been done away with. It caused them problems all throughout their journey and all throughout the promised land. And it's still there. It has not been done away with. And it's still there in the time of the book of the Revelation. And of course, even during the tribulation period. So ask thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And that doctrine is the same thing that is referred to in Balaam being called upon to curse God's people. And you do not curse God's people. God told Abraham, I will bless him who blesses you, and I will curse them that curse you. And you do not curse the people of God. Repent, he says to the church, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. What is that sword? That's that sword that has two edges. That the book of Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Cut asunder to the soul and joints and marrows of the bone. It will cut you in, it will cut you out. Hare lip the devil, that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. It's not like the manna that fell in the Old Testament in the wilderness. This is the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone, in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I'll give you a nickname that nobody else knows. Like mom and pop used to call me Doodaloon. Hey there, Doodaloon. Well, that's a nickname. Nobody else knew it but us. That's what he said he'll do. He'll give you a new name. Nobody knows it. Well, let's take a minute or two to look at the church of Thyatira. Increase in good works. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. There it is, the characteristics again are given from this one to qualify himself that this is the one who is actually talking to the churches. John may be writing it, the angel may be giving it, but Jesus is the one who is actually speaking to the churches. And the one who is qualifying himself is the one who has feet like brass and eyes like fire. I know thy works and charity, which is love, service, faith, patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Works are good, but you got to be careful not to have too much drama in the church. Too many drama queens in the church. And as long as the drama queens are having their way, the Holy Spirit exits, and he will not have his way as long as they're having their way. And by the way, these drama queens not only are women, but a lot of times they're men too, so you'd have to say drama kings. But we have too much drama in the church, and that's one reason that during this time of a hiatus, in the time of when we cannot get together, in pandemic, at least some of this drama stuff has been cut out. My understanding is all of it's been cut out, because you still got people that cause trouble. It's bad enough to cause trouble when everything's running, and even when things can't even get together, you still have people that cause trouble. It sounds like to me there's some troublemaking on the line. But God is able to speak to you, and he's able to speak to me, and he's telling us to get things in order and repent, because he's coming. The works. I know your works. I know the first works. I know the last works. I know your works. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. You had a Jezebel in the Old Testament. Ahab, King Ahab's wife, she stirred him up. She made idol worship prevalent and a big thing in Israel, a bother. And she kept going, and she stirred him up to evil and murder and all these things. And the Jezebel of the New Testament, she calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. That was a big thing. And it is looking to connect ourselves to worldliness, to New Age religion, to try to say that if we want to reach our world for Jesus, we got to be like them, and we got to connect to them, and we got to boy, boy, and buddy, buddy them. That's not what God says. God says, actually, I hate this kind of New Age religion. I hate this kind of Jezebel and Nicolaitan and Balaam religion that tries to make everything all right and smooth out where things appear to be. Everybody's okay. Everybody's all right. And he said, I give her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. He knows your heart. He knows your limits. I will give unto every one of you according to your works. And he has a smoking gun here for the church at Thyatira. but unto you. Now he speaks to those now who are righteous and are still holding fast to the faith in Thyatira. Unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. He said, you have enough on you already. I won't lay any more burden upon you. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Jesus is saying to us today, just hold on. Hold on a little longer. Just go a little farther. A few more miles and we'll be there. I've tried to find that song and I just cannot find it. The internet will not yield it to me, but it's a good song. Hold on a little longer. That which you have, just hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. We will help rule and reign with our precious Lord. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Jesus is the morning star, the bright and morning star. I'll give it to you. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God's message to our churches today is one of encouragement, it's one of blessing, but it's one of warning, it's one of challenge. He calls on us to repent. He calls on us to get right with God. He calls on us to come aside. Even right now, we can come aside with our Lord. We can come back to our first love. We can start doing the works of God again. We can start praising and worshiping God. Even when you can't get out and do the things that you'd like to do, you can still praise God. You can still worship God. There's all kind of things that we can do. And we can pray and get ready. Hold fast that which you have. Hold it. Hold fast till I come. And I'll give you a crown of life. I'll give you a new name. I'll give you a blessing. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to love Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this word, and I pray that you would help us to reach our churches and to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. You have been listening to a teaching session from the book of the Revelation, chapter 2. The title has been Messages to the Churches, Part 1. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you know him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.